Hello, and welcome to Christian Conservatives in Action. I'm so thankful that you've joined us today. I know that there's a lot of things pulling on your attention, and I'm so glad that you've taken time out of your busy schedule to spend a few moments with us today so that you can make your voice heard in government and so that we can get our nation back on track. I know that there's a lot going on, and we kind of want to keep your minds focused on the things that we believe are most important to you. So to that end, today we're going to get started. We are very happy to have with us again for his weekly segment, Representative Jeffrey Pogue. And I'd like to, later on, we're going to discuss a couple bills that he's involved in. But we've started a new segment called What is Wrong with Government? And I'm so excited about it that I'd like for him to start with that today. Representative Pogue, you with us?
Yes, I am, Brother Jeremy. Thank you.
You're welcome. Good to have you with us today. So tell us, this week, what rankled you and has you focused on what's wrong with our government this week?
Well, I guess the best way to describe it would be that we have a bunch of magician bills. I don't know how else to call it, Brother Jeremy. I think by saying that, I think there's always, when it comes to governing and when it comes to the legislature, that we seem to always have a trick up our sleeve, or we're doing stuff with sleight of hand. You guys see it a lot when it comes to that's upcoming with the budget. You'll see sleight of hand tricks. There's also smoke and mirror bills. It really is sometimes a bunch of Houdini tricks that us at the legislature do. And I think it's just should be hashtag bad governing. If there's a better way. And I think one of the bills that I'd really would be a great case in point would be the conference committee substitute for Senate Bill 24. And, of course, if you were to type that in and to look it up, it would involve TANF reform, which is Temporary Assistance for Needy Families. That sounds sounds like a great plan. I love the title of it. I love the ability to totally reform that situation. Many times I go through the MEC home, sitting at ball games or going through a grocery store line and stuff. You just run into people, and that's a big concern that I hear in my area is how they want to reform the welfare system. There's many programs out there, and they all need to be checked and balanced and reined in by government and by the General
Absolutely.
Assembly. TANF was actually created by Congress, I believe it was in the 1990s, 95, if I remember correctly. They actually came up with this TANF plan, the Temporary Assistance for Needy Families, and it was supposed to last for 60 months, 5 years worth, hence temporary. And the legislature this year wanted to really tackle, as other states have, reining in the term temporary.
Right.
And so the bill, when it first came through the conference committee, SB 24 came over to the House, there was an amendment to make it 30 months. So to, basically cut it into half. And that absolutely is a great idea, and I absolutely love that simple approach to reform.
Sure, because it was never intended to be a long-term. It was never intended to be a long-term fix.
That's exactly right. It was never. It's never to be intended to be a long-term fix. Other things have been informed or have need to be reformed the same way, like the unemployment benefit. Like you said, the EBT frauds and abuses, the SNAP benefits when it comes to the food stamps. These things all need to be reformed, and this will seem to be a step in the right direction.
Sure.
But this bill also has in it a lot of hidden, a lot of smoke and mirror gimmicks. And instead of to keep these people off the rosters, what they plan to do is to set up a block grant system by the government with your tax dollars and allow these families to have to come in after rules have been established by the Department of Social Services. A family can come in with some of these hardship grants some of these hardship exceptions, and they have the ability then to get a lump sum of money, basically a grant, for 1 year. And they're able to do this up to five different times.
I see.
And now if you look at the fiscal notes on this, but it's going to first cost initially about $500,000 to set up the software for it. So I've never seen reform that is going
to
actually cost.
Well, that was the interesting thing to me as I was researching this bill whenever it was being debated on the House floor, is I noticed that that it was going to cost money. And I'm thinking, to me, the concept of reform is to save money and be able to use the taxpayers' money in a different fashion or to give it back to the taxpayers. And instead, basically, instead of giving money to needy families, now we're going to give it to bureaucracy, which kind of sounds scary.
That's exactly right. Of course, they said they need this to set up new programs or this new, I guess, computer system or database system of some sort. They need this to implement this new plan. Now, of course, we have just, with the passage of this bill, it went through conference committee. The sad thing was that after it went through the conference committee, the Senate actually lengthened the time period. So instead of it being a 30-month time, so basically instead of, 2.5 years, they actually extended it to, 45 months. A person can be on there for almost 4 years on this program. So we've just shortened its life just by a year. Now, of course, there are some good provisions in this. You know, that people are on my side as a Republican are going to come back home. We're going to talk about how this is really encouraging families to stick together. There's provisions in there that's talking about giving breaks to married couples. I absolutely love that part of that bill.
Right.
It's obviously the 45 weeks is, or excuse me, 45 months better than 60 months.
Right.
Absolutely love that part of the bill. But the thing that's absolutely the worst part, and it's scary, is that we do not know how much this reform is going to cost us. It's actually going to cost more to reform than it is to keep what we currently have at 60 months. And sometimes it's always the rhetoric that it's like football. It's better to move the line of scrimmage, you know, just a little bit. We have to inch these bills through. And I guess what's wrong with government is that as a conservative, and as if you look at the demographics of the General Assembly makeup, you see that two-thirds are supposed to be of the conservative caucus of the Republican side. And people were elected to do that, and because of smoke and mirrors, we're going to have the effect that we really pulled off something well, but in essence, we didn't.
Sure.
And we didn't do that because we were afraid of a Senate Democrat filibuster.
Wow.
And, you know, someone had mentioned to me before about why I vote no so many times. And it was they mentioned that, you know, we'd like to see more bipartisanship, you know, on some of these, on some legislation. They said, well, why do you vote no so much? You actually vote with us sometimes. I said, well, named off the representative. I said, the reason I vote no so many times is because I'm convinced that our conservative caucus needs to be more aggressive in reforms.
Right.
And that's a lot of the reason.
I mean, I'm a big football fan. I like 3 yards in a cloud of dust as much as the next guy. But to me, a reform that costs you money doesn't sound like 3 yards in a cloud of dust. It sounds more to me like taking a safety. I mean, I don't really understand how doing reform that takes the money instead of giving it, to the needy families, instead giving it to the bureaucracy, that doesn't sound like a conservative, thought whatsoever to me.
No, you're absolutely right. It is not a conservative situation. And what's interesting was that when we first heard this bill, we'll say, about 3 weeks ago, maybe 4 weeks ago, about 3 weeks ago, we actually discussed the budget just before that. And I don't know if I've discussed it with your listeners or not, but when we drafted the House version of Missouri's budget, of course, the budget has to start with the House. As it kicked over to the Senate, we actually increased general revenue spending by $70 million in House Bill Budget Bill 11, S, or HB 11. Right. And they, the person who was carrying that bill, who also is the Madam Chairman of Fiscal Review, had mentioned that the increase was needed for the reform package on cannabis.
That doesn't make any sense.
We're going to end $70 million, exactly. And so now you see this bill, and it just so happens that next week we're going to be talking about the budget and once again. And so the Senate kind of cut some a little bit, but once again, what kind of reform costs $70 million?
Exactly. I mean, I'm all for reform. I think that anybody that looks at our entitlement system would have to believe that the best thing for it is to have some major reform. We've got to get rid of some of the abuse and the fraud and the people who take temporary systems and turn them into, you know, long-term plans. And all of that's fantastic, but I don't understand how we have reform that is, you know, that it just is taking the money to the exact wrong place. And I don't see how, and then they're going to call a huge press conference and talk about how they reformed the welfare system. And whenever they go out back into their districts, they're going to go and talk about how awesome it was that they really took on this monster and they were willing to do this great reform that, you know, didn't help out the state of Missouri one iota.
Exactly right. I tell you what, it didn't hurt Missouri much. Didn't hurt politics much, but I tell you, it hurt the everyday taxpayer
a whole bunch.
And that's, you know, that's not the reform that I'm interested in. You know, and that's not the proper way to spend our discretionary funds. We cut our public debt payment on the House version side. I believe we cut it about 8-9% than what it was last year. Education, K-12 education, actually seen an increase about the same, about $70 to $80 million. But then again, our roads are falling apart. And actually, what's interesting is that our K-12 education is not fully funded right now. We have not ever hit that mark statutorily that we're funding it fully. And transportation is another need. And our law enforcement and our militia and, you know, our commitment to seniors, these things have not been met fully, and we're going the wrong direction.
Well, that's because our priorities are so out of whack. I mean, there was a poll that Representative Burleson had out talking about the gas tax. How did we feel about that? And to me, we don't need another gas tax. We don't need more money to be collected. What we need instead is some serious reprioritization. I don't think the size of the Missouri budget is the problem near as much as where it's being spent. And I think that's where we run into problems. But whenever you have a supermajority caucus, I mean, it's sad because we're talking about your caucus, but whenever you have a supermajority caucus who says, yes, we're going to reform, and by reform, we mean we're going to cost taxpayers more money, but we're going to turn it into more bureaucracy, you see how you end up with ever-growing budgets with roads that can't get fixed.
That's absolutely correct. We have to be more prudent with taxpayer dollars, and we have to properly prioritize.
Absolutely. And I think if we could, you know, I guess what wears on my nerves a little bit about the whole situation is the fact that they're going to come back into all their districts, you know, all 163 districts this weekend, and they're going to stand up in front of people and they're going to say, hey, look at what we did. We took on welfare, and by golly, we reformed it. And people are going to clap and cheer and think that something good happened when it didn't at all. They just took money and diverted it into a different place and created an even larger problem than we had before. And I think it's time for that type of nonsense to stop. As you talked about the smoke and mirrors, I think it's time that people stand up and don't be afraid. If your representative wants to start telling you about how he or she took on welfare and reformed it, you know, and they want to tell you, well, we took months off because it's truly temporary. Ask them how much money it costs the state of Missouri to do that, And let's start calling them on the carpet. And I hope I'm not starting a fire for you, Representative, but I just think it's time that they start realizing that we are paying attention and that they're not going to get by with this smoke and mirrors act with us anymore.
That's exactly right. I think that we need to be held to the held our feet to be, you know, to be held to the fire. And the only way that that gets happen is if you and your listeners and you guys then will affect to influence your circles to then tell people to take action and to start being fed up with state spending and with federal spending for that matter. I know Congress is in the same way, and so make sure not only to let your voice be heard with how your tax dollars are spent not only in the state, but call your congressman, call your U.S. senator, and voice your opinion.
Absolutely,
as well.
That's perfect. I know that you've got an appointment you've got to get to, but can I have just a couple more minutes of your time?
Well, okay. You sure can. And I guess on one, if you would let me elaborate,
I would love for
a bit
you
more
to.
On
Absolutely.
Your show. When it comes to the tax spending, you know, in Missouri, what's interesting is that April 15th is considered Tax Freedom Day. If you are a tax-paying citizen in the state of Missouri, you have to work from January 1 to April 14th to have all your taxes paid for, all your federal taxes, your state taxes, your property taxes, your sales taxes, for to run government the entire year. So 28.5 cents of every dollar you make goes to
government. So you mean we can keep our money for the rest of the year?
Yeah, you guys get the rest of it.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
But, you know, more money. Yeah, I mean, yeah, but Brother Jeremy, you know, what is, you know, of course, following, being fiscally conservative here, more money now is being spent in taxes than there is on housing, on food. That's
scary.
And, I mean, and this is a trend. It's not like it's a one-time deal. This trend has been working since I have been in the legislature and since I have been watching this. And it's so important for us to get a good healthy dose of fed up and to start being scrupulous with the tax dollar.
Sure. Before I let you run off, can I get an update on House Bill 1338, the bathroom privacy bill? Would it be possible for me to get an update on where that's at?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay, where are we at on that now? Have they referred it to committee?
Yes, they sure have. They've actually referred it 1338 and 1339 for your listeners. They have to do with 1338 is basically defining what bathrooms are, gender-specific bathrooms. And it basically is keeping it as is in the state of Missouri.
It changes nothing.
The way it's always been that way. Yeah, doesn't really get in the weeds on anything. I encourage your listeners to look, actually read it for themselves. Don't take my word for it.
And just
read
so
it.
Everybody knows, family restrooms would be left alone because they are single occupant, and this bill exempts or just makes single occupant as unisex because the door's locked and you're in there by yourself. I do know that I've gotten some questions on that, and I thought I'd clear that up for you.
That's great. That's great. It's basically trying to say that, you know, that males and females have their own specified restroom. Like you said, if there's a family restroom that's exempt or in this bill. 1339 has a lot to do with that with the being transgender and having your tax dollars to be spent and create an environment that is gender neutral. And I think that's so important to know where your tax dollars are going to. And both 1338 and 1339 have been referred to emerging issues, chaired by Representative Elijah Haar from the Springfield area.
Sounds good. We'll get into action steps people can take on that after I let you go, because I know you have somewhere to be. Also, how about your Second Amendment Preservation Act? It's also been referred to a committee.
Yes, it sure has. The SAPA bill, or the SAPA bill, the Second Amendment Preservation Act, 1341, has been referred to civil and criminal proceedings by Robert Cornejo, Representative Robert Cornejo from the St. Charles area.
Sounds good. Well, I hope that those continue moving through the process, and I hope that you won't run into too many problems on that. hopefully we can get those to a public hearing. I know it's getting late in the session, but if we could get those, to get some traction this year, it would sure help you out as time goes forward. So we will continue working on that with you. Anything else you'd like to say before we have to let you go, Representative?
Well, I just want to say thank you for this opportunity. I think just some other things that could be working with. I know your show always ends with action steps, and I absolutely appreciate that. You have form letters. I know a form letter contact to your representative or to your senator is better than no contact whatsoever. And, you know, use those letters or write your own. There's nothing that doesn't say you can't write your own letter. But let your voice be heard. Let your voice be heard with the House leadership and with Senate leadership on these bills and situations. And if you've already fulfilled these and you've talked to the chairman and you've talked to your representative to maybe co-sign on these bills, to prayerfully consider co-signing on these bills, the next step is to make sure you tell your family and your friends, to tell your those that you worship with, tell your pastor, tell people to get involved in politics. And now's a better time than ever to be informed, to make your voice heard. And I'd encourage everyone, if they have not fulfilled these action steps, you know, time's of the essence. I encourage you to do so and do so quickly. And those that already have, your listeners that already have, Brother Jeremy, I think it's important to realize that the next step for them is to influence their circle and influence their territory, those that they get involved with, to say, have you done it yet? And, you know, I guess kind of to end on a parable, you know, the gospel said, was it Luke chapter 18, about the parable of the persistent woman. And, you know, basically this woman she never gave up. She never surrendered. And she constantly talked to her magistrate, this judge, which, by the way, didn't fear God, didn't fear man. He was just hard-nosed and obstinate. Sounds like politics now. but by George, she turned down. And the reason she did was, even said, he said, I don't fear God. I don't fear men. He said, as it says in Luke verse 4, verse 5, he said, because she keeps bothering me, I will see to it that she gets this. So she won't eventually wear me out. coming. And so, to continue the fight, when it comes to some of these other situations, I know that we've talked with the reason that the Sogi situation has advanced so far is because they never give up. You know, they've action plan since the first time that since they've worked a plan since Chicago in 1924. They've been working 100 years, and they've never given up. And I encourage your listeners, I encourage Christian conservatives to be in action, and then to be Christian conservatives in action persistently. Right. And, please.
Sounds great. Well, man, I sure appreciate you being with us. I know your time is valuable, and I always appreciate you being with us to bring a unique view to our listeners as to what's going on. And we just know that we're with you. We're standing behind you. I know some of your ideas draw some funny looks in Jefferson City, but know that Christian Conservatives in Action are with you. And I'm also going to be updating them on some other bills that are going on after we have to let you go. But know that we're with you, and we're praying for you constantly. Thank you so much, Representative.
Well, thank you. I appreciate this time. And once again, I think it's important, and I think it's imperative to know, and I hope I don't monopolize much of your time. But, as being a, before I was a representative, I was the typical everyday Joe, just as much as all your listeners are. Had a family, involved with work, involved with church, and was living like everything else, would listen to the news, and would definitely be praying for my officials and be praying for government and praying for military. But did I ever actually do the legwork that you guys are doing now? I didn't, and that was far be it for me to always have an opportunity to encourage your listeners to be very vigilant with their government. And, don't It's an existential vacuum. If you guys do not talk to your representatives and your senators and to your governor and to your Congress and to your president, somebody
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much. Have a fantastic weekend. Enjoy your family this weekend before you have to get back to the grind next week. All right. Thank you, guys, and thank you for your prayers.
God bless you.
Bye-bye. Well, it was great for Representative Pogue to stop in with us. Look forward to hearing from him each week, and I know that you probably do as well. I just want to update you on a couple of the bills that we talked about a few weeks ago on the second half preview. We talked about House Bill 190, Representative Swan's abortion clinic bill, talking about going in and having them inspected. And just to let you know, it is moving through the Senate process. It's been heard by a Senate committee, so everything's going well with it. If you would like to, contact your senator and be sure and tell him to be watching for House Bill 190 and that you're in full support of it. House Bill 104 was Representative Elijah Haar's Student Freedom of Association Act. Again, it's moving its way nicely through the Senate process as well. And again, talk to your senator and let them know that you think that's a great thing, that all of the groups on campus should be treated the same. And that's the beauty of that bill. I want to update you on House Bill 800. I was glad to see that it didn't get brought up. That's the medicinal marijuana bill. There were rumors that it would get heard on the House floor this week. I told you last week to take action, and you did. I was excited to talk to so many of you who took action on it. I truthfully believe that would be a devastating, devastating thing for our state. Continue the action. I know so many of you did, but as Representative Pogue told you earlier today, if you've already taken action, don't stop taking action. Talk to your friends, talk to your family, talk to your pastor, talk to the people at your church. Let them know what's going on. Refer them to this program. Refer them to my website, ccinaction.org, or refer them to the Facebook page at facebook.com/ccinaction. Let them find out what's going on so that they can get the action steps and they can do the same. We have to keep raising a fuss on this. We can't slow down. We can't stop. We have to keep letting them know where we stand on this. We're going to see so many unintended consequences that we're not going to be able to wrap our minds around them over the next few years. So please stand with me on that. Also on Representative Pogue's bathroom privacy bill, House Bill 1338, it's been referred to a committee. I'm going to ask you to contact Representative Elijah Haar, the sponsor of the Student Freedom Association Act. Contact him and encourage him to get that on the docket for a public hearing soon. That needs to be heard. It needs to be brought to the forefront, and getting it a public hearing is the only way that it's going to get the attention that it needs. I noticed this week that there were two bills. We talked so much about the Springfield SOGI situation, the ordinance in Springfield that would make sexual orientation and gender identity a protected class of people. There is a Senate bill called Senate Bill 237 and a House bill, which is House Bill 407, that would do the same thing statewide. They are both sponsored by a Democrat and co-sponsored by Democrats. And for some unknown reason, leadership has allowed them to have a hearing. And not only did they have a hearing, but they were voted due pass through the committee. Now, there's still more things to be done before they get to the House floor. But I find it disturbing that Representative Pogue's bill has not been heard yet, but these other two bills have already been through committee, the first committee process. I believe the people spoke in Springfield. Springfield is a liberal city when you're talking about Springfield proper, and still the ordinance was defeated by that group of people. And there needs to be outcry. The reason that these are getting heard is because the other side is just standing on their ears trying to make sure that it happens. And we're going to have to start doing the same thing. Politics oftentimes are a squeaky wheel gets the grease. And so sometimes we're going to have to squeak a little bit to get for people to pay attention to us. There will be later this evening, there will be a blog post with all of these action steps. I'm going to encourage you, please, please, please contact leadership on these SOGI bills and just beg them to kill them, tell them that it's not going to be good for our state, and also reach out to Representative Haar and encourage him to get House Bill 1338 on the docket for a hearing as soon as possible, because we believe that that will protect our children and it will also protect our freedoms as business owners and as property owners. It's so important. There's no need to belabor the point today because we've talked about it so much on past programs. But we can't stop. Obviously, the fight's not over. We've won one battle, but the fight continues. So I'm going to ask you, continue linking arms with me. Do your part. Step up. The Christians must rise up and make our voices heard, or we will continue to be ignored in government. It's been good to be with you today. I'm so glad that you've joined us. I would like to close today in a word of prayer. Lord, we come to you today. Lord, I thank you for this time that I've had today with the listeners of this broadcast. I thank you for their action. I thank you for all of the wonderful things they're doing. Lord, I ask you to continue blessing the work of our hands. Lord, I ask you to double and redouble our efforts. Lord, take what we're doing and multiply it, and may it do amazing things that we may turn our nation back to you. Lord, that is our desire. That is our hope. That is our goal. Lord, I love you and I thank you for it. In your holy name I pray. Amen. Don't forget to check on the CCNAction.org website later today, and you'll find the blog post with all of the action steps that go along with this broadcast. And I thank you in advance for all of the action that you're going to take. Thank you so very much. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.